B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. Sal Powell will join us at 5:15. 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons, the new mower, zero turn, other outdoor power equipment. Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. All right, so the Nets upset the Milwaukee Bucks today. It looks like the Bucks coach was throwing the game to send his team a message.
It looks like.
But the Nets were up at halftime against the Bucks. Budenholzer benched the whole starting five in the second half. So the Nets win the game. Now, Tyrone, as a betting man, this game, what was the highest that it went up to?
It got to plus 1,900 someplace.
Plus 1,900. So you put 100 down, your payoff for this game is 1,900 in your kick. Mm-hmm. Now, you know somebody who cashed on this game?
Yeah, Casey from NBC Sports Philadelphia got it at plus 1,500.
What would possess him to put 100 on that game?
I don't know. I didn't follow up. He tweeted about it. I followed him on social
media.
Oh,
that's amazing. There's one thing taking a flyer. There's one thing throwing away $100. I the mentality to bet that game, it means you have Cole Yoon's the size of watermelon.
Listen. He's a lot of things, that Casey, but ballsy is one of them.
Oh my God! Well, congratulations, man.
Yeah, listen, scared money don't win.
Wow. So well, that's terrified money there. Scared money. Seriously, I look at that game and I go, that's a game Bucks can't possibly lose. Well, I've had $1 million. I bet on the Bucks.
Well,
right?
Yeah, he tweets about it, and then Brian Brennan, who produces Sixers Outsiders, actually had Sixers pre and post game live. He asked him, "What'd you get it at?" Because he knows he was just praising the Nets. He knew it when he wasn't just randomly praising the Nets.
Uh-huh.
And then he said he got it at plus 1,500. It's like, come on.
Oh my God. Well, I'm looking down. Yeah, I'm diverted because I'm looking down these concerts, the ones that I know I went to with this Spectrum list. And I found it. I found three.
All right.
So I remember being, when Kansas first came on the scene, I was a huge Kansas fan.
Yeah.
And I always thought, like, I discovered Kansas to my friends.
Well, Dust in the Wind?
Well, no, it was before Dust in the Wind. Dust in the Wind came later. That was more of a poppy hit for them. Well, when they first came out, they were like a 7-minute, 30-second band.
Yeah. Right.
So they were orchestral.
They jam out for a long time.
Right, they were orchestral. They had an electric violin, the whole bit. They had a lot of pieces to them, and I loved them. And so I see that they're coming to the Spectrum. Here it is, November 29th, 1975. They were the opening band. I had to get there early. You ready for this? Kansas opens. So I get there. I don't care about the other two bands, who happen to be Man for Man's Earth Band and Edgar Winner.
Oh.
Kansas opened for
yes.
them?
And I'm going, I don't even want to see these other two bands. So I had to sit there because I wanted to get my money's worth.
Yeah.
So Kansas had to play a short set, obviously.
Yeah,
so I see.
That.
So I sit through Man for Man's Earth Band and Edgar Winner. I got my fingers in my ears by Edgar Winner time.
You got a buddy with you or a girl?
I can't remember.
What year did you say that was?
Yeah, it was November 29th, 1975. I was young.
Okay. Was that, was Carry On, My Wayward Son, was that out
yet? I don't even know if that came out yet.
Oh, wow.
It was like Song for America. The first album was, it had a picture of John Brown on the cover.
Oh, wow.
And then their next, it was called Song for America. I think that's when I got into them.
Okay.
All right. So now, also, I go with February 5th, 1978 is the Emerson, Lake & Palmer concert where I smoked something in the crowd.
Oh, you told us the story.
That resembled like a hard piece of wax. To this day, I don't know what it is. But that was when Emerson, Lake & Palmer, they had this huge, it was the Moog synthesizer. And it was huge. It was before, like, you know, it was like a tower.
Mm-hmm.
And they blew it up at the end of the concert. And I don't know if I was tripping or if I actually saw him blow it up.
I was going to say, I remember you told us this story.
My ears were going in stereo.
Yeah.
I swear to God, like, my ears were speakers here in stereo.
You were definitely tripping, Mike.
But they blew their synthesizer up. I'm pretty sure I saw that.
They probably did, tripping.
Yeah, probably. But there's got to be somebody at that concert that will verify that they blew up the synthesizer. And then I come back. You ready for this? You talk about the rock period of my life. 81, Blue Oyster Cult and Foghat.
Oh, man.
Well, Blue Oyster Cult, Foghat.
I got a prescription, and the only... I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell. Yes.
Blue Oyster, Cult and Foghat. Oh, my God.
I would pay to see what you wore and what you looked like when you went to that concert.
We saw long hair Mikey Ness at that concert. I actually
I actually liked Blue Oyster Cult at that.
I can see that.
For reasons that are unclear to me.
They're not a bad band. They get the name was dumb. But they're not a bad band. They actually holds up. A lot of that stuff holds up. I mean, you got to be in a... You had a lane, though, back then.
At least they're called. I forget what their hit was. But, I don't know. Anyway, let's get back to the phones. Harvey in Germantown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Harvey! Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Pete from South Philly. Go ahead, Pete.
Oh, how you doing there, Mike?
Yeah, that's my fault. Go ahead, Pete.
Don't worry about it. Listen, Mike, I'm a huge fan of the show, and I don't want to start off a little bit of criticism. Love Natalie. Love Jerome. You're okay. But the thing is, we're just coming off a 5-month drought, and you're talking about concerts?
Who?
Yeah, we're not really. We're just, it's a side topic that we usually, that's what makes this show unique, that we go, into side topics and then always come back to the main subject, which is the Sixers. So what do you have to say about the Sixers, smartass, before I zip you?
I got a list of demands that the Sixers need to meet if they want to retain me as a fan.
All right, go ahead.
Reason number one is.
I'm sorry, what?
So what do you think number one on my list is?
I don't know. I don't care. Give me your list. Go ahead. I'm not in a mood to guess here. I'm thinking about concerts in the Spectrum. I'm in no mood to guess what your number one thing is. Go ahead.
Trade Embiid, draft LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball. And how do you get that draft pick?
You're telling me there aren't teams out there willing to give up a number one pick for Embiid and maybe another pick? Come on.
All right, so LaMelo Ball, a guard, is what you're going to draft. Yeah. You're going to trade away a dominant center.
It's a transition league, man. You need 3-point shooting. You need to clear out that lane. Give Ben some space.
All right, so that's number one. Guy, what's your number two?
Number two? I mean, I said, of course, acquire more shooters. You know, I mean, hell, Kyle Korver's out there in Milwaukee. He's looking good. I'd take him back.
You would, huh? He's 40 years old.
Age is just a number.
Yeah. Pete, let me ask you a question. What were you doing today that made you want to call? Were you bored today?
Me?
What made you? Because you're not making any sense at all, and I'm just wondering, like, what made you call? Do you think you had a good viewpoint? Because I can assure you that you don't.
I thought I had a really good viewpoint.
Yeah, it's not good.
Sorry.
What else do you have? Is there something you can dazzle me with before I let you go?
I mean, I'm not the guy with the sports that's talking about concerts, so, you know.
All right. But to dazzle me one more time, because you've been brilliant so far. So give me, like, your third point on the Sixers.
My third point?
Yeah.
Quite simply, extend Al Horford.
Yeah, CP, why do you go through life as an idiot? What's the point of it? Like, what points do you make with people by being an idiot? I want to get into your psyche here. What makes Pete Pete?
If we cleared out the middle.
Clear this. Ron in Frankfurt, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ron.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Ron? What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing okay, thanks. I turned my television on, and I had to hear you talk about... nobody wants to see a pitcher hit. I imagine you're talking about the pros and cons of the designated hitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the designated hitter is much more than a pitcher hitting. It's strategy. It's making the manager of the other team make a move he doesn't want to make. Who cares about that anymore?
Seriously. Maybe... The benefit of that is minuscule compared to the downside.
It is
because for the first six innings, it's an automatic out. It doesn't come into play until you have to make a change to pinch hit for a guy. So why have it?
In the late innings.
It's not, who cares about the strategy?
In the late innings is a big part of ball game. Making a manager use up a player.
Ron, listen to me. You have to adapt. It's 2020. Nobody wants to see the pitcher hit anything. And nobody cares about the strategy.
And it doesn't change. Yes. You're talking about changing because nobody wants to see the pitcher hit? That's ridiculous, Mike.
You're trying to entertain the viewer. The viewer doesn't want to see the pitcher hit anymore.
You want to see another parade going down Broad Street is what you want to see. Designated hitter, that's wimpy. That's wimpy baseball.
I know. You're an old
school guy.
Dude, I get you. You're an old school guy. You don't want to change their tradition. It doesn't work anymore, bro.
In your mind, it doesn't, Mike.
Yeah, it doesn't. But, and the majority of people don't want to. The majority of people, Fran, aren't old school guys that care about the strategy of changing for a pitcher. It just doesn't make nobody cares about it anymore.
It's not just a pitcher, Mike. It's also like using up a batter.
Yeah, I get it. I understand the strategy of it. It doesn't work anymore. Nobody cares how crafty you are. Any idiot can pinch hit for a pitcher and make a double switch. So what's the point of having it? It's not that much of a unique part of the game that you can't do without it. Let's go to Sly in West Philly. What's up, Sly?
Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Sly? How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's up with you?
Doing good.
I want to talk a little bit about Brett Brown, but I'll tell you, my first concert that I saw was at the Civic Center. 1974, I was 12. My mom and my aunt took me and my sister, my cousins, to see, because they loved them. They took us to see Barry White and the Love Unlimited Orchestra.
Wow, at the Civic Center?
At the Civic Center.
Was this before the Spectrum?
No, the Spectrum was still there, but they would still have stuff at the Civic Center.
Did they really? I didn't realize that.
Yep. Barry White, New Birth, and Richard Pryor opened up for him.
Get out!
Richard Pryor opened up. My mom and them didn't really know who Richard Pryor was, so when he started doing his bit, they covering our ears and stuff. It was crazy, bro.
Wow, that's wild.
But that was the show. Richard Pryor opened up for New Birth and Barry White.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea that the Civic Center had concerts.
Yeah,
the
Civic Center had plenty of them.
All right. I didn't know what the Civic Center had after the Sixers.
No, they had plenty of events there. We used to, when I was younger, we used to go see wrestling there and boxing.
Yeah, they were actually, the Civic Center was actually LaSalle's home floor.
Yeah,
Lionel Simmons played.
When Lionel Simmons played and Randy Woods and all them guys played. That's when I knew Sean Bradley couldn't play because he played them there and had 2 points and they didn't have nobody like over 6'6" or whatever.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I got you.
But no, I wanted to talk about Brett Brown and the reason why the Sixers are always giving up these leads. It's because Brett Brown is not a strategist. And realistically, they give up these leads because of the fact that they do the same thing all game. So by the fourth quarter, the other coaches and the other players know how to attack them. They don't do anything different. And Brett Brown does not coach a strategic game, and he doesn't coach the individual. Like, if you look at it, when T.J. Warren is cooking his team, they got Ben Simmons on them, but you're not coaching Ben Simmons to say, look, I need you to face guard this guy, deny him the ball, and don't leave your man. That's coaching the individual to pay.
Yeah, apparently they did communicate that to Ben.
But they don't do it enough. Because if you look at it, you talked about Toronto. You see Nick Nurse and you see these guys. He has strategy for everybody that he plays.
Yeah.
And he plays different based off of the opponent.
Uh-huh.
I don't see the Sixers playing differently based off of the opponent that they play. And how they're going to attack that particular team.
Yeah.
They play the same way all the time, and they don't play with any desperation or heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you, man. I'm getting the sense that you don't feel anything good's going to happen here.
No, how could I? I mean, do you feel anything?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm smacked over the head by reality because I'm now like...
I want to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
But realistically, I'll look at that team, and I just don't see any killers out there. Anybody that when another team is making a run where we have a guy that's going to make 3, 4, or 5 baskets in a row to stem the tide.
Yeah, so, I hear you, man.
Yeah.
All right, Sly.
All right, Mike.
All right, yeah. With all a lot of Sixers chat today, but let's kind of turn it to the NFL, the Eagles, Doug Peterson, all kinds of issues going on here with this league and trying to pull this thing off. Now, our next guest, 100% optimistic that they're going to be able to pull this off. And, of course, he is the great ESPN NFL reporter for ESPN, brought to us by Parks Casino, Sal Palantonio. Hello, Sal Pal.
Michael, I hope you're safe and sound, and everybody at the station is with all this this weather coming through.
Yes, we are. I was told that my little coffee table on my deck blew off my deck, and it has a big thick glass top, and the glass flew off and did not break.
Oh, unlike in Seinfeld, where Kramer's coffee table made a glass break.
Exactly.
Remember that?
So this thing flew off my deck. Apparently, it was a tornado down there. Flew off my deck, ended into my neighbor's yard, and the glass is still intact by some miracle.
So that coffee table needs to go in the coffee table book because it's indestructible.
It definitely does. It's a wicker coffee table for the deck.
Well, you got to have a whole chapter about that coffee table.
I don't know. It's a miracle. All right, so let's talk about the Eagles issues. And of course, the big issue, the head coach testing positive. And, you know, he's on a list now with a couple of players. How does this impact the Eagles with him now away from the team?
Well, first of all, Michael, let me just say, we hope and pray that Doug Peterson is A-OK, that he's going to be all right, he's going to be healthy, that his family is going to be all right and healthy, that his friends, you know, he's got young children,
mm-hmm.
everybody's going to be healthy, that, you know, the players, the organization is going to be healthy and okay. Because, you know, this is a civic treasure. You know, Doug Peterson's very important to us, and everybody in his family is very important to us all over the Delaware Valley. So we want to make sure that our well wishes go out to him. But, and here's a big fat capital B-U-T, but what happens next is very important, right, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
What happens next is very important, right?
Yes.
You have to make sure that you do the right thing. And you have to make sure that you, as a team, as an organization, and the National Football League, when you have cases like this, where a coach or a player says they didn't get it in the building around the team. So you got to, as they say in the CIA, you got to walk the cat back. You got to retrace your steps. You owe it to everybody to have a thorough. Nobody's trying to assess blame here. Nobody's trying to punish anybody. But you got to find out what happened so that you can figure out how it doesn't happen again. Now, I mentioned Dr. Alan Sills last Tuesday, the NFL's chief medical officer. And I'm going to mention him again today because he said in the Wall Street Journal this morning, we can't test our way to safety. Testing is important. It's critical, but it's not the only important method or way to mitigate risk. Personal responsibility is the most important way to mitigate risk. We know that. We've had 60 million tests in the country, so you can't test your way out of it without personal responsibility. So that's the most important thing. What happens next?
They buttoned down some protocol here, and I'm curious to know what your thoughts on this are. The fines escalating up to $50,000. By the way, if for players who refuse to submit to the testing, they're trying to button down the testing. They can be fined up to like $15,000 for failure to wear a mask or properly social distance, and for not wearing that device. And they're expected to adhere to the rules outside of club facilities. I understand it's personal responsibility. How likely is this new agreement to make players follow this?
Right. So, you know, that's in the building, right? So, you know, when they're in the building, as Tim McManus has reported, and Timmy Mack has done extraordinary reporting, I'm glad he's on our team, broke this story, really knows what's going on behind the scenes. If you're not reading him on ESPN.com or listening to him on this station, you're missing a lot. McManus is all over it. And as he was reported, everybody's wearing these monitors.
Yes, the Nixon proximity recording device, it's called.
Yes,
yeah.
if they're wearing the monitors so that if you're within 6 feet for 10 minutes or longer, no good. But I don't know if they're wearing the monitors outside the facility. That's the loophole, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, these things are like Apple earbuds.
Right. So the thing is, as Dr. Alan Sills warned everybody in the National Football League, and his comments went to everybody, you can't test your way to perfection. You can only really help yourself if you have personal responsibility when you're out and about. And if you have a lot, you know, when you have a lot on the line, if you're a parent or a teacher or a coach or anybody who's going to come into contact with young people or multiple amounts of people, you have to do everything you possibly can and then some to make sure that you don't expose yourself.
So this is basically on the honor system, because they're outlining the high-risk behavior that's going to draw a fine or suspension. Now, I don't know who would be able to report that unless they're going to have spies or private investigators. But, like, one of the things, for instance, is attending an indoor bar or nightclub, unless the player is wearing personal protective equipment and there are no more than 10 people there. House gatherings of more than 15 people. Attending an indoor music concert. Stuff like this. How are they going to stop people? They can't, right?
So it's totally on the honor system. But you have to take personal responsibility. So let's look at me. Why do I take personal responsibility? Well, you know, I'm the lead NFL face of ESPN. And I have three daughters and three granddaughters.
Mm-hmm.
And I want my granddaughters to go back to school. So I put this thing out on Facebook. Be a patriot, wear a mask. You know, it's for the good of yourself and your family and your country. You wear a mask, you wash your hands. And guess what, Mike? If for, you know, this is going to sound a little holier than now, and I hate to say this on the air, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, it sounds like the old guy next door talking. But you know what, Mike? I don't need to be in a bar in 2020. I'm good. Go in my backyard, have a drink. Okay, but, you know, I don't go to bars much anyways.
Yeah, you're an educated man, you see, and you're to the point where you have personal responsibility. Well, you know how athletes are. They feel they're indestructible.
Oh, athletes are educated, you know.
Yeah, but they also feel like they're kings.
Well, they do feel somewhat invulnerable, you know, definitely invulnerable. There's no question about it. But you know what? You know what education looks like? Your bank account.
Yeah.
Right? Open up. Huh. Come on, Mike.
Yeah.
Come on. And your bank account includes a lot of capital in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. It's not only money that's at risk. It's family. Family's in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends are in your bank account. Your reputation is in your bank account. All of those things are part of your personal wealth. And you must safeguard those things. And that, again, may sound a little holier than now, but that's what... If you want, as one of the coaches told the players at NovaCare this week, before this all went down, last week, if you want to play in September, you got to do the right thing in August. Now, everybody is learning on the fly with this, certainly. Baseball certainly did. And, you know, you have to change protocol to make sure that it works. You know, what was interesting to me, too, is what also speaks is money, right? You know, after the reckless virus outbreak with the Marlins, the commissioner, Rob Manfred, what did he do? He threatened to pull the plug on the MLB season. Then Major League Baseball, the network partners, saw the Buffalo ratings, and all of a sudden he backtracked.
Yeah. Let me ask you one last question. We have to get to a break. The NFL has made the opt-out deadline for this Thursday. And as far as I can tell, the only thing that would punish you here is that if you opt out afterwards is that you wouldn't get the stipend that they're offering for opt-outs. So it doesn't really cancel a player who wants to opt out after the fact. He's just going to not get his salary, right?
You know, Mike, it's changing. It's under negotiation. They're talking about it. You have to respect people who want to opt out. You just do. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It's about your health and the health of your family and your own personal decision. And I would hope that the National Football League and the National Football League Players Association would figure out how to make guys whole. Mm-hmm. We need, in this world, we need forgiveness and forbearance. That's the most important thing. And the ability to be flexible while you're vigilant. We don't want to be a hard butt about anybody.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that everybody gets taken care of, first and foremost.
Yeah, so it's not that it's not final yet. They're still talking about it.
Mike, I really don't. If situation comes up, of course they're going to try to make the guy whole.
The league is saying it's final, but the Players Association.
Yeah, you know, you don't make people pay their rent if they can't pay their rent.
Yeah.
You don't throw them out on the street, right?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you. All right, Sal. We don't
do that in this country, Mike. We take care of each other.
You're right. All right, man. Listen, we'll talk next week.
All right.
Sal Pal, brought to us by Parks Casino. So, yeah, what we're talking about this thing, they had this, if you opt out, you can get a stipend, right? You get $150,000, and if it's at risk, $250,000.
But it's not really they call it a stipend, but it's really just a loan.
Okay.
You have to pay it back next year.
It's taken back on your next year's salary. So, they're saying, well, they can't. Like I said, well, this is the deadline for opting out. They can't keep you there if you still want to quit. It's not like they have a gun to your head. They're just so you just wouldn't get any money out of it. So what teeth does any kind of an opt-out date have?
I don't know, but the league originally told the players we wouldn't implement it until a week after a deal. As of right now, there's players in camp. There's actually no deal in place.
Yeah. This league. All right, we'll take a break. We're a little late for the break. We'll come back. You got your phone calls. No sound off, so we'll take your phone calls till the end on the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, the final Twitter poll numbers for today, and they're kind of predictable as we're all feeling the same way. We got to get back hope. I don't know if hope is coming our way with this Sixer team. Anyway, the final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons is the place to go. They're in Doylestown, PA. You can order online at paulbmoyer.com or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup. Final numbers, Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has over 700 votes on it so far. Do you feel better or worse after the Sixers win last night? 23% say better, 77% say worse.
Okay. That's just to give you the schedule, what's going to be happening here. So tomorrow, the Sixers at the Wizards. It'll be an away game for them, so the Wizards will have all the fanfare on the court. 4 o'clock. That means we have a short show tomorrow.
Yes, I think an hour on TV, 2 hours on the radio.
Okay. The Phillies also play tomorrow, doubleheader. Starts what, 4:05?
Yeah, 4:05.
4:05 doubleheader.
2-7 innings, yep.
The Yankees are the home team in the first game, which begs the question, will they wear the pinstripes tomorrow in that game?
In that first game, I think so.
So they have to take 2 uniforms.
Yeah.
All right.
The Phillies kind of have to, too.
Yeah, but the Phillies are already there.
Right, so they'll just go in their own locker room and change from.
So they have to transport the unis down there. I'm sure the equipment man loves this.
Yeah, he hates that, but I wonder what the rules are. Because they were supposed to be showing up. We'll go ahead.
Yeah, as far as what? The white team, home team?
Yeah, they were supposed to be just showing up, like, in the unis. and not doing a lot of changing.
Yeah, they don't want the changes.
But you don't have a choice because you're playing seven innings. Right. Change clothes and get right back out there.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. Well, maybe the Yankees just have one uniform. Thursday, Flyers, Caps, 4 p.m. So another short show. On Thursday. So that's where we are. So we'll have Jen and Oz Wednesday, Friday. And we'll have Brian Westbrook participate in it.
Nice.
Somehow.
That'll be fun.
We'll give him actually a chance. We'll make him play with the audience.
Yeah, yes. That'll be funny.
That'll be fun.
Yes.
Man, that's never been done before.
With that Villanova education to good use.
Yes, and then the Sixers play again Friday night, but it's 6:30, so right. We actually get extra show Friday. We go 15
right, where
extra
we're
minutes.
Going long.
Yes.
That's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Tom in the Northeast. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Tom?
I want to put my Villanova education to good use.
Okay, go right ahead.
I still have hope for the Sixers.
Okay.
And I don't think they're playing these games the way they would play if they were playoff games. I think they're playing a lot of different guys.
Play little possum here.
Well, I do believe that. I'm surprised I wasn't in the lineup last night.
What do you mean? They played their guys. They just came up short defensively.
They played everybody.
Well, you're saying they've gone through the motions in the fourth quarter? They've done enough, so they go through the motions? They've given up 40-plus in two straight fourth quarters?
No, I'm not saying that. I will say this. I think you're the guy you had on, Keith Pompey, he's a prophet because he predicted that at least these first eight games would be very high-scoring games, that there would be little to no defense. Mm-hmm. He's correct. So who's ever betting the over on these games is cashing in.
I don't know why there should be no defense, though, because that's what their profile is. That they the exhibition season, they look good defensively.
Okay, let me ask you a question that I think you have the answer to, but I'm not sure. What do you think about the numbers, the plus or minus in terms of?
Well, they can be like misleading, but when it's like a minus plus 26, that's not misleading.
Well, Horford was plus 17 last night.
He was good last night. He was plus 26 the night before. He was minus 17.
Yeah, he's been the best player in terms of the
Oh, he's minus. Well, I'm getting my pluses and minuses mixed up. Yeah, he was minus 26. He was plus last night.
Okay, so it was plus 17. Mm-hmm. And Tobias was plus 7. The rest of them were pretty much zero.
Yeah. Yeah, he played better last night. But they're all... None of them, like, I can't count on any of them from day to day, except maybe Embiid at this point. Like, Ben has had two lackluster games, and it's because he doesn't obviously feel comfortable in this new alignment. So you got to go back to where he felt comfortable and hope that works.
I'm hoping I still have my C note at 30-1. I'm hoping that this is a different team when the playoffs start.
You know what you got to do with that C note? Say see you later. That's what you got to do with that C note. That's a see you later. Yes. Harvey in Germantown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Harvey.
Yo.
Harvey.
Yo.
What's up?
Yo, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Yo, I was giving you a call, man, because you're talking about the spectrum, and I got to go way back. I think my first venture into the spectrum was probably like in the early 70s. I might have seen either Earth, Wind, and Fire or War. War, maybe Mandrill. So a lot of
Mandrill, oh my God.
Yeah, Mandrill, War. Who else? Maybe Cool and the Gang. Funkadelic. I mean, I've seen all of them.
Problem and Funkadelic. They played. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they had so many.
You know, they used to have like Michael Jackson. The Jackson 5 played Michael Jackson. I had a couple big dates there. Dionne Warwick had a big date there. I remember.
I saw Luther there.
Really?
Yeah, and I saw Prince.
Prince had a couple big dates there.
I saw Prince, and then he invited Patti up on the stage with him.
Uh-huh.
And like every instrument. I mean, they had another venue outside of Philly called the Valley Forge Music Fair.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was nice.
You know who I saw there? Because they had the shows in the round there.
Yeah.
I saw Dan Fogelberg there. I saw in the round, yes. Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah, I didn't venture out there much. I wish I did. I saw a comedy show there, and I think I saw oh, man, I can't even think of the group. It wasn't the Four Tops. It was the OJs. I saw the OJs out
there. Oh, all right.
But Mike, getting back on the Sixers.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Ben Simmons fan, man, but I'm starting to fall off the wagon a little bit. I mean, he looks like he's regressing again.
Listen, he,
I don't want to fall off, but
I get it. I'm discouraged too. But again, I don't even think he's going to shoot the ball next year. So
I'm just
hanging in there.
You know, I'm a old ball player, never on that level, but used to play a lot of ball. I can't understand a basketball player who won't shoot. When your father or your big brother first takes you to the courts, the first thing you do is shoot the basketball.
It is flabbergasting to me that he won't shoot the ball. And we've talked about it many times. So, yeah, the storm hit Doylestown pretty hard today. CB West bleachers were destroyed. The football stadium?
Yeah.
The photo's
football
stadium. Insane.
It's insane.
It
hit
ridiculous.
Doylestown Hospital also, the children's wing. Ripped the roof off, I think. But apparently no one was hurt.
There's a photos of a parking lot, and I think it's the Doylestown Hospital parking lot, and all the cars are overturned.
Yeah, there were overturned cars in the parking lot
That's
as well.
That's so crazy.
Doylestown got hit really bad. Yeah, it's to the point where the bleachers are strewn across the field and just mangled. Like, they're going to need all new. We don't even know about school starting and all that stuff. They're going to need all new
crazy.
Bleachers.
Let's take a break. We'll come down home stretch. We'll take a couple more calls on the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh my God, I just saw another concert that I went to.
What was it?
This is a kicker. Because the headliner was Dave Mason, but I went to see Robin Trower. And that was where Robin Trower put the guitar on the stage and left the stage and kept playing.
Oh, I've heard about that.
But the opening act was a band called PFM. They were from Milan, Italy. They were a progressive rock band that came from Italy, and they had like kind of English success. Their real name was Premiata Forneria Marconi. They had these synthesizers. It was awesome.
That sounds nice.
PFM.
I'll have to check them out.
So they're an Italian progressive rock band founded in 1970, which continues to the present day. They were the first Italian group to have success internationally. Recorded five albums with English lyrics.
Are there any other Italian rock bands
that
you can think
of?
I don't
think so. This was stunning to me. Yeah. This band, these guys, this Italian progressive rock band opened that concert.
Wow.
It's going to Carol on a cell. Carol, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Carol.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have never called before, so bear with me. A little nervous. I'm a traditionalist who loves baseball, and all my life, baseball was the tradition of the United States of America, and I love the fact that we could play an even game no matter who was batting. So when they put in the designated hitter, I know you're going to try and say, oh, no. When they put in a designated hitter, I thought it sort of cheapened baseball.
Let me ask you this, Carol. I know you're a traditionalist. I am too. But how does it cheapen baseball to make it put an extra hitter in there that a pitcher has to get out? How does that cheapen it?
Because I think pitching is a talent, and that's a talent that you need.
Okay. That's what my point is. Pitching is a talent, so you have to get out another hitter. Now there's nine hitters you have to get out instead of eight. How does that cheapen the game?
Because now you have outfielders former outfielders that can't run fast anymore, and they are making millions of dollars, and they shouldn't be, because all they're going to do is sit in the dugout and come out and bat four times during the game.
I just don't understand how you're making the point that it's cheapening the game if you're making it harder to get an out from a pitcher.
Because it takes away some of the strategy.
Well, who cares about the strategy? Come on, Carol, with all due respect. You sound like an old-time fan. I get it, but it's 2020. There's no value of it anymore. Pitchers, like, back in the day, all right, pitchers were athletes, right? And then they hit. They had a semblance of hitting. But the game evolved to the point where they can't hit anymore. They don't pay enough attention to hitting. They don't practice hitting. They're too involved in trying to master being a pitcher. So the last thing on their mind is wanting to step in the batter's box. So now, okay, the trade-off is you make it harder for that guy who's not going to hit to get another hitter out. How does that cheapen the game? Bill on a sell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, Mikey Miss.
What's up, Bill?
I usually call on Wednesdays because I consider myself out of the wealth of knowledge. And by the way, your Boilermaker Colt was the Godzilla tour. Remember that?
What was the song? Go Godzilla.
Yes,
that was the song. But they had a hit song. I can't remember what the rock hit was that they had.
They had a couple of them, but I called because
I know what it is. Don't fear the Reaper. Yes, man, that's what it was. Don't fear the Reaper.
Right. The Reaper tour. My first concert, I was 12 years old and went with my mom and six of my sixth grade friends. And guess what the concert was?
What?
Christmas 76. And guess who they opened up with?
Kiss and who?
Christmas 76 was the headliner. They opened up with Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band.
There you go.
It was also my first time I caught a secondary. The first time I caught a secondary, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
That place was smoky, huh?
Yes, it was.
Do you ever remember the guy that used to run the book in front of the Spectrum where you used to have to sign it every day?
No.
Oh, well, this guy was in my high school, and you had to sign the book every day. I mean, he was like the ticket master, you know what I'm saying? And if you didn't sign the book every day, you weren't allowed in the line at the spot.
Really?
True story. Yes, true story. He used to get front row to everything.
What was the guy? Damone in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Was
the concert man.
Well, guess what? The teachers let him go and do it because they got tickets on the back end.
Yeah, I hear you. What was the Damone hawking? What concert was he hawking? Well, he's going around hawking the concert in Fast Times. What was the band?
I don't know.
I forget the name of the band is. That'll be tomorrow's show. Anyway, stay tuned for Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly, Forever Philly Cole Hamels, Forever Philly Nick Foles. And then Sixers Spurs from last night. You get to watch it again. Shake! Have a great night, everybody. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.